Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our weekly Penguins chat. Andrew Destin with Matt Wenzel, as always. And as always, we want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. Again, that's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Well, we got a lot to discuss on this podcast. As you can tell, we're going to recap the first half of the season and specifically go into some player grades and all that sort of stuff. But we're first recording this on Tuesday, coming on the heels of the Penguins' win over the Seattle Kraken on Monday. And Matt, I'll let you explain that win, but defensively speaking, that was as good of a performance as we've seen from the Penguins this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, statistically speaking, at least, sure. It was another shutout. They lead the league in shutouts, believe it or not. The lowest expected goal total against all year, according to SportLogic. Some other kind of fancy stats that were, you know, close to season lows or best. You know, I think if you factor an opponent, maybe that win over Colorado way back when was the best defensive performance. But this was not far behind it. Seattle had won 9 in a row coming in. We're just absolutely smoking teams. So good win for the Penguins, even though it was kind of a low event game. So they've officially crossed over into the midway point there, Andrew.
Yeah, and that midway point is what prompts us into this discussion we're going to have here. To kind of recap, and I'll let you get into the nitty-gritty of this, Matt, but you handed out some grades, went into your teacher mode, giving grades out to each of the players, and you got to check out the story that Matt wrote on post-gazette.com. But what exactly went into the piece that you wrote for Tuesday?
Well, they're grades, Andrew. They're pretty self-explanatory. I guess for a little bit more context, we limited it to players who have played in at least 5 games. So we weeded out guys like, you know, Colin White, Magnus Hellberg, our large Swedish friend. And these grades are relative to expectation for the individual players. I think that's probably the key point here. Wouldn't be right to kind of grade Sidney Crosby and Ryan Shea on the same curve. So these are all relative to expectations. A lot of that is external expectations, but probably internal within the organization as well. So those are the two things to keep in mind here as we get into the grades.
Right, and let's get right into them.
I have a grade for you, Andrew.
Please, send it my way. What do you got?
I mean, expectations were pretty low. So we'll put you at a B+. You're doing great.
Ouch.
Just kidding. All right, let's be serious here. Serious podcast.
A serious podcast talking
just
about
trying to keep you on your toes there.
Yeah, you're succeeding, man. We're like 3 minutes into this thing, and I'm all over the place. I'm bouncing off the walls if I'm capable of that.
You're like my kids today. It's a snow day. Be thankful you don't have kids yet, because you get a phone call at 5 a.m. and it's like, all right, 2-hour delay, and it's like, oh boy. And then you get another phone call, and it's like, school's canceled. Kids want to go play in the snow. It's 15 degrees outside. I mean, look at you. You're all warm. You probably just got off the couch now. You might make some a frozen pizza or something. And so anyways, just well, be thankful you're young today.
I'm really thankful, and I'm honestly, and I know this will drive you and probably every person watching this nuts. I'm really thankful that it did snow, because I'm excited to go out and build a snowman later, because I never did that as a kid. So
why don't you come over and just take my kids out in the snow? If you're trying to get up into the A grade range, I think that would be the way to go.
Gladly. You got like carrots and coals and a scarf for a snowman. Like I'll gladly get at it with them, man.
Sure.
Sweet. All right. At any rate, though, with the report card, I guess there's a lot of ways we can go with this. The first one I'll go to you is, who was your biggest surprise above expectation? Just in terms of, like you mentioned, that grade that you're getting these guys on. Who was the biggest surprise, you think, through the first 42 games for the Penguins this year?
Yeah, there wasn't an easy answer for this one, because, you know, there's really not a lot of guys who have, you know, truly surprised. A lot of guys have met expectations. I gave 4 A grades, you know, A plus to A minus to Penguins players. And it's, you know, guys like Sidney Crosby and Jake Gensel that you expect to be good. I mean, Marcus Patterson got an A grade. I don't know if he was a huge surprise, but he has taken a step forward. My answer would be Alex Nedeljkovic. At least I didn't have super high expectations for him. It's not like I thought he was going to be bad. You know, I was optimistic that he could be an upgrade over Casey DeSmith, but wasn't entirely sure based on his work in Detroit the last couple of years. So I think he's been really, really good. I mean, he got a B-plus grade, probably would have been an A-minus had he not struggled in 2 out of his last 3 starts. But yeah, he's been really good, better record than Tristan Jarry, you know, and he's been a nice surprise for the Penguins. And if I had a runner-up, it might be Jeff Carter. You know, it comes back to expectations. I don't know if any of us expected anything from Jeff Carter, but, you know, he received a solid C grade from me. He's, you know, acclimated well to a reduced role and moving to the wing, and he scored a few big goals too. But I'd say those two guys best fit the surprise category.
Right. And in looking at those grades, I think I was right there with you in terms of guys who have exceeded expectations. Nedeljkovic was one of the two. Another guy that stood out to me was Drew O'Connor. He was somebody who I think expectation-wise, you wrote about him in here. I believe you gave him, it was a B-minus grade. Yeah. Somebody who, yeah, had a slow start, so it hasn't been as consummate the 42-game stretch of somebody who's been excellent like Nedeljkovic. But O'Connor was somebody who stood out to me as, hey, this guy has exceeded expectations a little bit. But to hammer on Nedeljkovic, I mean, that's somebody that's important, not just in the sense of being a good backup goalie, but I mean, you alluded to it here too, is that he's challenging Jarry for playing time, right? And that's an important development and an important development of the storyline. So tend to agree with you there. Nedeljkovic has been a nice surprise, I guess you could say, for the Penguins.
Cause for concern with his recent play?
A little bit. I think it's one thing that stands out, just remember writing about it a few weeks ago, how both him and Jarry were well above the league average for expected goals saved, how they were kind of maybe outperforming expectations. And I guess that kind of goes in line with what we're writing about here. So there is part of me that wonders if he's coming back down to earth a little bit. And I guess you could say that really about the Penguins as a whole, just given that I think you could probably say they've been better defensively than expected. It's not just the goalies, but also what's transpiring in front of them, that maybe they've had to make more saves than should be expected, and that their stats are better than they should be. So maybe that's part of it. I'll put it this way. I'm not expecting Alex Nedeljkovic to go the full 82 playing at this level. How about that?
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. How about biggest below expectations? Who was a player who fared below on the grade scale for you?
Yeah, so I had 3 Ds, no Fs this time around, but 3 Ds, and 2 of them were prominent newcomers, Riley Smith and Ryan Graves. Look, Riley Smith got off to a hot start. He had 2 goals in his last 30 games before he got injured. You know, doesn't always look like the guy wants to be here. And honestly, today with this weather, I wouldn't blame him if he didn't want to be here anymore. Jeez, it's cold. Yeah, he's just been a real disappointment. And as the trade deadline looms, you wonder what's going to happen with him. You know, you wonder if he's a guy they could look to move, whether they're still in contention and maybe just trade him for someone different. He really hasn't had the kind of impact that anyone expected. And then with Graves, yeah, he got off to a really bad start. His first 35 games were rough. We saw him recently get moved down to the third pair, and that seems to have stabilized him a little bit. We saw him back on the second pair against Seattle on Monday, and he played pretty well. So it does look like he might be turning the corner here in January. But yeah, obviously a worrisome start for Ryan Graves. I still think he's a good player. You know, I still kind of take the long view with him and think that he's going to figure it out and be a pretty solid defenseman. But at the midseason point, I think he earned a D.
I think it's pretty obvious, given off those your answers there on both those guys, that Graves is one that you're more confident in, you know, getting back to that higher level of play, just given the track record and things of that nature and what he's demonstrated recently. But with Riley Smith, I mean, what's the thing that's been most disappointing, I guess, about him? He was billed as somebody who was, you know, can score off the rush, and we've seen him pair well with Gino in that regard. But from my observation, at least, it seems like when they're establishing offensive zone time, he was not really much of a factor. Have those been your observations too, or what's been your biggest takeaway from Smith's game and watching him up close here this year?
I mean, he's not doing much of anything. He had some offense off the rush during the year, was very noticeable, and just kind of disappeared. And, you know, like I said, I'm not the only one who's made this observation, but he looks unhappy to be in Pittsburgh. You know, he admitted as much, you know, when we finally got to talk to him in training camp, that it took him a long time to get over the trade. One wonders if he has ever gotten over it. I mean, this is his fifth team. You figure he would be used to switching teams by now, but I don't know. He just hasn't really fit in as anyone expected. By all accounts, he's like a decent guy. It's not like he's a bad apple or anything in the locker room, but you know, he looks like a guy who just wishes he was still in Las Vegas, which is understandable. He had a lot of success there, won a cup. So I don't know. Maybe he'll come back from this injury. I know he's out longer term after he got hit from behind the other night. You know, maybe when he does come back to the lineup, he'll look like a different player and play more like the guy the Penguins thought they were getting. But I think it's fair to say, you know, given, you know, what they gave up to get him, a third round pick, they let go of Jason Zucker. They just wanted more juice from a guy who's going to step into a prominent role. And that just really hasn't been the case.
Yeah, certainly a big disappointment for the Penguins. You mentioned Graves. He's a guy who's certainly turned the corner a little bit. I'll bring up another name for a guy that you gave a D grade to, in P.O. Joseph. He's one who certainly stood out to me as somebody who's been a big disappointment this year. I know he was sidelined for a bit there with the injury, but has really been shuffling in and out of the lineup. Had a chance there to play with Erik Karlsson for a little bit on that pair. But all told, I mean, I think this is fair to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but this has been a bit of a big step back after a breakout rookie campaign last year for P.O., no?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, he was up and down last year, but was more consistent than we had seen previously. That's why he was able to stay in the league and play a lot of games for the Penguins. Just this year, he's just really struggled. When he makes mistakes, he really makes them count. And, you know, I know the coaching staff doesn't necessarily have, like, they're not right all the time with these decisions. So, I mean, you do take it with a grain of salt, but it is telling that the coaching staff clearly doesn't have a lot of trust in him. I mean, we've seen P.O. be a healthy scratch for a few stretches this season now. And when he does play, he's averaging less than 20 minutes per game. So that tells you that the coaching staff doesn't have a lot of trust in him. So we'll see. I mean, he's sort of benefited from the fact that John Ludwig is out and Ryan Shea turned back into a pumpkin and is in the minor leagues. You know, so they don't really have an alternative to play right now. But you do wonder, you know, if P.O. is going to be with this team at the end of the season. There's certainly scenarios you could see playing out where they moved on from him.
Yeah. John Ludwig still on long-term IR, not slated to be able to come back. I believe it's not till January 27th, I think is correct. So still a little bit of time here, these next handful of games for P.O. to prove that he deserves to stay in the lineup. But that's no guarantee, as we saw earlier in the year with Ludwig getting more ice time over him.
Hey, look, Ludwig hasn't been great either. I mean, I know fans get excited anytime they have somebody who like wants to hit somebody or fight somebody. I understand that's like an element that is perpetually lacking from the Penguins, but Ludwig struggled too. I mean, struggled to defend at both 5-on-5 and on the PK.
Yeah, they had been playing him on both sides, whether I was on the left as a left shot guy who was playing both the left and right sides of the D pair, never really looked particularly comfortable with either, was just more so a physical guy. So that's certainly a storyline that I'm curious to monitor this next week and change once Ludwig gets back. He has skated since he's been sidelined, but of course on long-term IR. Okay, I want to get into this. This has been on my mind since we brought up this idea of doing the report card for the podcast. Some grades that I quibble with you on. There are a few players. We already mentioned a few of them on here. You mentioned Jeff Carter. I got to be honest, man, I'd give him a higher grade than a C.
Got. Let's hear it. Why?
All right. My expectations, like you mentioned, were practically nil. I'd give him at least a C plus or a B minus. I think that you have to look at what he's done in the faceoff circle. This is a guy who, whenever they're taking draws in their own zone, he's either on the wing like he always is, or is able to slide in if Achari gets booted out. That has value. He's scored a couple of timely goals, some game winners this year. One that comes to mind is in Tampa, which definitely didn't see that one coming. And his line hasn't been a detriment, which we can point to the bottom six last year as that was a unit that certainly was an Achilles heel for the Penguins. But I don't know that you can say that as much about the third and fourth lines this year. They're certainly not great or world beaters or anything like that, but considering where the expectations were for Carter and what probably is his last NHL season, I think he's been above expectations. I wouldn't say that he's met them. He's probably been a little bit higher.
You have not swayed me, but I will clip that, post it on social media, and just laugh as all the angry Penguins fans tell you that you're an idiot. Let's go.
I mean, do they not already think that?
I mean, I think it comes back to expectations, sure. I mean, he's been, a fourth-line level player. So I understand where you're coming from.
Okay. Next one would be Jansen Harkins. You can roll your eyes at me with this, that we're discussing Jansen Harkins for midseason grades. But considering considering the fact
you're going to quibble with me about Jansen Harkins. Here we go.
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. So this is one that I'm only excited about this because I think this is a funny answer. Feel free to not laugh and insult me again. Regardless.
I won't.
Okay. So Jansen Harkins, right? Expectations coming into the year. They didn't know that they were going to have him until a few days before the season started, right? When they got him, it was this unknown commodity in the sense that he had played in Winnipeg, had never established himself as an NHL player. He got sent down after, what, like 3 or 4 games, and I'm thinking, okay, that's the last we see of Jansen Harkins. But he came back, and he's now skated in, I think, 27 games for the Penguins. I had no intention of or belief that this guy was going to skate in even a dozen. And he hits people. That's something. He's assisted a couple of times on nice goals. I would say that he's at least a C, if not higher, just based on the fact that he has played games. I did not expect.
Didn't I give him a C? What did I do? C minus?
Yeah, you gave him a C minus. I was like, what did he fall below expectation for you on?
Well, for starters, just because he is here doesn't mean he should be here. What is the alternative? Vinny Hinostroza, Nylander. So you could argue maybe he's been here by default. Secondly, Chad Ruedel has more goals than him. So
point.
I'm just going to let that sink in. So I will say Harkins has been better of late. Your point about him bringing some physicality and energy, he definitely appears to have kind of figured out what he needs to be doing to help this team. So I will say, over the last, 2, 3, 4 weeks, whatever it is, he has been more impactful. Just not enough, I think, to give him a higher grade than that. But we'll see. I mean, if he sticks around, and deserves to stick around and does more of what he's been doing recently, his grade at the end of the year could maybe even get up into the B range.
Yeah. And now, and actually
big if,
right.
Big if.
Hey, stay tuned. That's why we'll have the end of the year full semester report card, right?
Stampoolin looms. Yesi Polviardi looms. Is that how you say that? I should probably figure it out.
Jesse. Yeah.
Stampoolin.
Stampoolin, 4 goals in the last 4 games for Wilkes, career high.
Yeah, he talked to you on the phone and won on a heater. I don't think it's a coincidence.
I'm the solution. That's my takeaway. I'm it. But
all right, quibble. Let's hear some more gripes, some grievances.
All right, now for more impactful players, Erik Karlsson. You gave him a B. As somebody who's gotten to witness him in person this year, both you and I, but also been able to follow him the last handful of seasons, I got to be honest, the expectations are a little bit higher for me for Erik Karlsson. And I think to me, it comes down to just really one area. The 5-on-5 play has been good. I have no disagreements with you on that, that he's been good in terms of the advanced numbers. He's playing well now. I think it's a 7-game point streak he's on. But my quibble really is just the power play. This is a guy who was brought in, billed as somebody who would really help that unit. And I agree with you that I think Evgeny Malkin has been perhaps the biggest detriment to the power play of anybody. But Karlsson hasn't exactly been one that stymied that unit. He hasn't been a catalyst in the manner that I think was expected and what he's capable of. And he's looked apprehensive and passive at times. So to me, I think just the power play unit, which obviously has been a struggle, has been an Achilles heel for the Penguins this year. You would have expected Karlsson to elevate that group. And if anything, I think it's taken a step back this season relative to last year.
So I had Karlsson as what, a B? So what are you saying? What's
C plus, C plus or B minus?
I respect your opinion.
No further comment.
I could see meeting in the middle on like a B minus. This is the first time maybe you've swayed me a little bit. But I do think it speaks to what a polarizing player he is. And again, I'm just going to let all the Penguins fans on Twitter who know what natural stat trick is know that you are down on Erik Karlsson. You're all for Jeff Carter, and you think analytics are stupid. No, I mean, it does speak to the kind of the debate with Erik Karlsson, which is kind of reminiscent of kind of the debate we've seen around Chris Letang for years. You know, typically really good advanced analytics, productions there in the box score, struggles defensively. He definitely makes some big mistakes, and it's just kind of hard to add that all up. But, you know, I think it's clear the Penguins expect more out of Karlsson, and it's not just the power play, and it's not just kind of the turnstile defense at times. You know, halfway into his first season with the Penguins, he still is not very assertive at times. And I think that's frustrating to the Penguins organization. So we'll see if he gets that going. But yeah, I mean, you talk to some fans on Twitter, which, you know, it's just a small snippet of this fan base. But there's a lot of people who would argue that Erik Karlsson's been spectacular and way better than Chris Letang. So I guess we'll have to agree to disagree on that one. But I'm going to sick him on you because I had him as a B. You have him as a C plus. So here, hang on. You go with the next one. I'm going to start tweeting this out to the fans. Andrew Destin hates analytics. Here's why.
Analysis. Okay. Yeah.
Next.
Trying to think who else I have here that I really did quibble with you on. Those were the big three that stood out to me. Honest to God, I just really enjoyed you saying that Radim Zahorna had re-entered the witness protection program. I just wanted to bring that up to the podcast. I like your quips. I think they're funny.
I mean, it's the same story every year with him. He has like a good camp. Everyone's like, hey, yeah, Radim Zahorna and, you know, the team. And he's like, I'm in much better shape this year. And then he does a few good things and then just disappears. We're seeing it again this year. So, yeah, another kind of polarizing player, depending on how you feel about advanced analytics, which I obviously, it's something I factor into everything. I write about them all the time, but it's not everything. So I don't know. I mean, a couple more players that I guess we can touch on is, you know, Brian Rust was kind of a tricky one for me. I landed on a B plus, but you could have swayed me into an A minus for him. He hasn't been as productive with Evgeny Malkin. So maybe that was the difference in him being a B plus for me. Lars Eller, quietly, you know, the team's best third line center, I think maybe since I've covered the team, and this is my sixth year, I gave him a solid B. I don't know if you have any issues with that. And then Raquel's another one. Yeah. Would I give him a C?
Yeah. C felt right. Yeah.
It's like he has 11 points in his last 11 games and maybe he's getting it going, but it still doesn't feel like he's, you know, been a difference maker for this team recently, even with that production. So we'll see. He's another guy. you know, I know there's a lot of attention on Jake Gensel with the trade deadline looming and what's going to happen there. And honestly, I'm fascinated personally to see how it plays out. But, you know, why not move a guy like Raquel? If that means you can keep Jake Gensel, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a thought. We'll get into trade deadline talk in future weeks. I'm sure there'll be a lot of it.
Right. Plenty to discuss there, because I don't think, as you said, I don't think it's as cut and dry as do they move Jake or do they not. I think there's a lot of other factors there. But just to touch on a couple of those guys you brought up there, yeah, I mean, Lars Eller to me, and not even just for the sake of this exercise, but like just screams to me like a B hockey player, like a guy who does everything you ask of him. He's not flashy. He's not super exciting, but like is responsible defensively, can sometimes chip in offensively. I think I don't think there was any grade that I agreed with you more than maybe, I mean, obviously, you know, Crosby being an A+, that's just a given. But like when I saw Lars Eller was a B, I was like, I mean, that describes him to a T. And then Brian Rust, of course, being the B+. Yeah, I think that's the right grade just because, yeah, I mean, I think it all goes down to he was productive on Crosby's line. And I don't think that's any coincidence. And he's been less productive on Geno's line. That's not a coincidence either. So I think B+ is the right grade to give out to him there. And yeah, just wanted to touch on Lars Eller being a B. He's the embodiment of that letter grade, I think.
You mentioned Geno, so yeah. I guess we can put a button on this report card talk with Geno and Letang, the two other prominent players we really haven't gotten into. I had Letang as an A-. You know, I think he's been really good this year. Some others may disagree. I mean, he's produced just as much as Carlson, despite mostly running the second power play, not the first. He's been very good on the PK, a big boost for that unit after he wasn't really used a ton on that last year. So I think he's been good. You could talk me into a B+, I guess, but I have him an A-. And then Geno, another tough one. I mean, he's you know, on pace for 70-plus points. Once again, his plus minus is right around even, but just so uneven, enigmatic as always. When you mentioned the power play, they've also left some points on the board in overtime, you know, as we've seen here in the last couple of weeks. So I had Geno as a C+. You know, you just expect a little bit more from him. I don't know, maybe you shouldn't at this point in his career. He's 37, obviously slowing down physically, but yeah, I'm sure he's another guy who would have a wide range of grades depending on who you asked.
Yeah, he might have been, I don't know, he might have been a C. Like, I think C+ is fair. I don't particularly disagree with it, but in terms of, again, being above expectations, I don't know that Geno has really exceeded them. If anything, he might have fallen a little bit short, but that's just given that I think last year was more impactful of a season than we were expecting out of Geno, so... but yeah, I mean, in terms of just what he's brought to the table at 5-on-5 on the power play, the 5-on-5 play has been particularly striking. Again, I'm not breaking any news or telling anybody anything they don't know, but just in terms of establishing ozone time, that's not something that line has really done particularly well, if at all. And Geno's as responsible for that as anybody, and the defensive inconsistencies there are pretty well documented. So, what we're seeing with him, it hasn't certainly been a good first 42 games, and I think it's no secret that his line getting back into a better space would be certainly a big help for the Penguins here as they enter the second half.
Yeah, I mean, the third and fourth liners, like, other than, I mean, I guess you have Drew and Eller who were in B range. I mean, you had a lot of Cs, C-, but overall, I mean, those two lines are actually kind of doing their job. They might not be scoring, but they're not allowing a lot of goals. Some guys are chipping on special teams. So actually, like, you could argue the bottom six as a whole has been a little bit better than expected. So just to your point about the second line, like, you know, that's a key element. It's every year. What Geno does and his line do is such a, you know, a swing factor for this team. I mean, when Geno's rolling, you know, you believe this team could potentially, you know, make the playoffs and win at least a round. And when he's struggling, they got no chance just with the way they're constructed.
Yeah. I think it's a good way to wrap up the main talking points here. I think on that note, after the Malkin discussion, let's go around with some stick taps. You want to lead things off here or should I be going first?
You can go first.
All right. Great. We've talked about a lot on this podcast. Stick taps to Ryan Graves. You mentioned it. I've mentioned it. We're on the same page here. He's a guy who looks to have turned a corner. These last seven games, he certainly has looked better. And I think that game on Monday against Seattle was certainly a big step forward for him, getting back partnering with Erik Karlsson. The thing that stands out to me is just this is a guy who you've talked about it and written about it as much, that the failures, the struggles, you know, he took those pretty seriously. Obviously, he is internalizing.
Yeah, this guy cares.
Yeah, and it's no secret. It's not like, oh, he got some six-year contract with $4.5 million a year that he's just going to mail it in. That's the complete opposite here. Graves is taking this stuff very personally and wants to play well, and you can tell that he is putting in that time, putting in that effort to get better with the play. So stick taps to Ryan Graves after an arduous first 35 games. Looks like he's taking a step forward. So stick taps to him. How about yourself, Matt? Who you got?
I will give my stick taps to Marc-Andre Fleury. Monday night, he picked up a win. Who did they beat? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. They won. Oh, the Islanders. Anyways, Fleury gets a shutout, moves ahead of Patrick Waugh for second all-time in the in career wins. Great accomplishment for him. I don't think he's catching Brodeur. You know, we'll see how much longer Marc-Andre Fleury plays. This could be his last year. He hasn't said, and I don't even know if he's really decided, but a great accomplishment. I mean, I don't know. I always have a soft spot for Marc-Andre Fleury. I never covered him personally, but just as a fan of the game, a former beer league goalie, just the way he plays and carries himself. And then his longevity is why he was able to get to this record. And, you know, I think that's impressive. I mean, he came in the league at such a young age. He went through a lot of ups and downs. And just physically, the way he plays the game with the splits and the acrobatics, the fact that 20 years later, you know, he's been had relative health enough to hit this milestone is actually pretty incredible for the kind of the, just the physical toll that the position can take on his body. So I think it's a great milestone. We'll see how many more wins he adds to this total, but stick taps to Marc-Andre Fleury, our old friend.
Yeah. Couldn't have said any better than myself. My only addition there would be, did you see the video of him thanking the crossbar mid play after against New York yesterday?
I mean, that's it's one of Fleury's many quirks we've seen over the years.
Just so funny. Yeah. I bring that up just to say that 20 years later, he's still doing it. It's like, the guy's organically himself. It's just been such a treat to watch. So at any rate, that'll do it for our midseason report card and grades, courtesy of a one Matt Venzel. Thanks, guys, as always, for checking into our podcast. We'll be back next week with more Penguins talk. And in the meantime, be sure to hit up post-gazette.com to keep up with more of our Penguins as well as all other sports content. Thanks, everyone.
We give you guys an A. If you're still watching this video at the end, you get an A grade from us.
Yeah, what he said. Yeah, thanks, guys. All right, we'll catch you all again next week. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.